Morning. So good to hear the word of God, isn't it, through our worship and through everything that we're doing. I think Robin was right. It is all sort of heading in a direction, and hopefully what I'm about to share will continue that and add to that. So we are, we're getting on through our series now. We're drawing towards the end of our reflections on Exodus and what that means for our journey together as Hub Church. So where have we come? We've seen that God has a plan for us, that God travels with us. We've seen that there's nothing that can get in God's way. That although we're moving on, we need to learn the lessons of the past. That God may not take us the way we think is the right way. We've learned that we need to trust in the faithfulness of God on our journey, and that we journey together as a community. So I wanted to start this morning by getting a bit of testimony from someone who's recently been on a long journey. Andy Wright, would you grab the mic? So under the chair. Thank you. So I'm going to just ask Andy a few questions about the journey that he's recently been on. So Andy, where did you go?
The clue's up there, but I went to Canada.
Excellent. So where did you come in? Where did you land? Where did you fly into?
I was going to say a funny answer there, but I'm not. Yes, of course I flew into the airport. No, we're Vancouver. Vancouver.
How long was the flight?
The flight was about 8 hours.
Wow. Okay. Watch any good films on the flight?
I watched Bohemian Rhapsody. That was good.
Cool.
Yeah, enjoyed that. Yep.
What's the time difference between there and here?
8 hours.
8 hours, wow.
Yeah, they're eight hours behind.
You stay in a hotel or with people from the church?
No, stay with people from the church.
Okay, cool. Yep. Cool. What was the weather like?
Well, Vancouver's climate is pretty similar to the UK's, actually. So it was hovering around about zero. They had a bit of snow while we were out there, actually. And for them, that's a kind of annual event, maybe, like it is for us. So, cool. Yeah, they were quite excited by it.
Did you get a hire car or...?
No, people from the church took us to where we needed to go in their cars.
Did you stay with them or in hotels? Or?
No, we stayed with them in their homes, yes.
Nice. How was the jet lag when you got back?
So normally the jet lag coming from Canada to the UK is the worst, but I actually found that to be all right.
Yeah, cool.
I think it was my shift work that I used to do. Kind of learned how to get over jet lag kind of every week, really, in some ways. But going there, I really, really struggled. I didn't sleep well for a good 3 or 4 days, and I was only there for a week. So by the time I'd kind of got used to it, I was coming back. But.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do you bring anything nice back with you, a bit of duty-free?
I did bring a few things. I brought some maple syrup, actually, and my kids were very happy with that, and some T-shirts for them as well.
Cool. Okay, thanks, Andy.
That's right. Thank you.
Does anyone think we might have missed the point? Andy, can you come back? Sorry. I think I ought to ask you a couple more questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought that was it.
So. Okay. I'll ask you a couple more questions. I'll do them both together and you can just crack on. What did God do in you on the trip, and what did God do through you on the trip?
Good questions. Well, God did some great stuff, I think, in me while I was over in Canada. I felt so encouraged to go out there and spend some time with 4 different churches in a week, so it was a bit of a whistle-stop tour, really. But it was just fantastic to see the similar things that God is doing out in Canada that he's doing here. I made a good friend, a guy called Andrew Freeman, who used to be here in the UK and is now living out in Canada, in British Columbia. And it's kind of like we've known each other for years in many ways, because we just started talking discipleship, and he has got a massive heart to see God move through discipleship. He's seeing things like Discovery Bible studies and discipleship happening in small groups. And we were just like, yes, God's saying that to me as well. And everything we talk about was just like, wow, that's incredible that the other side of the world, God could be doing so many similar things. So I felt really, really encouraged. And I felt it was real confirmation about what God has been saying to us here in Basingstoke. So I found that fantastic. I was really going with Steve Thomas, who's the international leader of our Salt and Light family. And so I was tagging along with him in many ways. But I was so blessed at how the churches welcomed me and wanted to hear what I felt God was saying through me for these churches. And that was such a blessing to be able to hear God, I believe, and share what he had to say to these churches. So I really felt that God spoke to me. I learned a lot. I was stepping out in ways I haven't stepped out before. And to learn from someone like Steve was just a real blessing as well. So God did lots of good stuff. But really what grabbed me was that these churches have got a huge heart for God to move and see people come to faith. And that is something I believe God is doing in so many nations like the UK and the States and Canada and places like that. People are just grabbing a heart to see God move. And I felt that was just reinforced by going over to Canada. So I was really blessed to be able to go.
Great. Thanks, Andy. There's a big difference between the journey, the destination, the reason, and the purpose. Andy went on a journey. The destination was Canada. The reason was to visit churches in the area. But the purpose was to be a vessel of God's blessing to those churches, and because God wanted to work in him. In the same way, we are on a journey as Hub Community Church. Yes, there's things that God wants to do in us on that journey. And there is a destination, a promised land, if you like. Whether you see that as a new building, whether you see that as something a bit more intangible in terms of our identity as Hub Community Church, or whether you see it in more eschatological terms. Big word. There was certainly a reason for the journey. We had the review. It was born out of a desire to see growth and impact on our society. But every journey must also have a greater purpose, something that gives it value. Now, the verses that we're forming the root of what we're going through this morning might seem a little familiar to the more eagle-eyed amongst you. Phil preached on them last week. However, I didn't want to say that, Phil. No, we really felt that these verses are so pivotal to this journey, to this what we wanted to get across, that we wanted to zoom in on these two verses in particular and really just sort of take another look from another angle. So Exodus 19, 4 to 5, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So in the narrative of Exodus, God has made good on his promises. He's freed the people from slavery in Egypt. He's brought them out. He's provided for them, given them manna and things to eat. He's saved them from the Egyptians that were chasing them down. He's about to give them the commandments, the yardstick by which they'll be recognized as people who are distinct from the world around them. And now he reveals to them why he's done that. And lo and behold, it's more than just freedom from slavery. It's more even than just having a people to call his own. There's a greater purpose to the journey that they have embarked on and will continue to travel. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Phil mentioned this last week, but it's worth just recapping on what that actually means. So a kingdom of priests, what would be understood by that? So Israel was yet to have established the priesthood for themselves, but they would have been familiar with priests from the cultures around them. In simple terms, what they would have understood by this was that they were to be God's chosen people, God's representatives. Priests are the conduit between God and the people, petitioning God on behalf of the people, but also delivering God's word to the people and God's commands. The Israelites would have interpreted this basically as a call to stand between God and the rest of the world, making a way for those who wanted to live in harmony with him. and then a holy nation. It's an extension of the kingdom of priests. It's a clear indication that they're to be set apart. That's the definition of holy from the world around them. And as Phil pointed out, this does not mean that they were to be cut off and in isolation. If they were, then how could they have performed their priestly duties? But they are required to be distinct in attitude and in behavior. We'll come back to that. But earlier in the passage, we read that the requirement on the people is to obey and keep God's covenant. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. There's several places in the Old Testament where God makes a covenant with his people. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term covenant, it's kind of like a contract. Except instead of dealing specifically with goods and services as we might understand it, it tends to deal more with behavior and attitude and relationship. It's the sort of thing that the people of the days would make between nations and between kings. They would have covenants which would govern how they would relate to one another. So you can look at these different instances of God making a covenant with his people. And you can say, well, each time the people got it wrong, so God had to make a new covenant with them and replace the old one because they'd messed up. Or you can actually see it as God reconfirming his covenant, building on his covenant, and deepening that relationship that he has with his people. And that's the approach that I favor. And if you take that approach, if you look at the two covenants that come before this particular episode, you get Abraham and Noah. And you see that God's promises extend beyond the individual, beyond the person with whom he is making the covenant. They go out to the direct descendants and they go out to all the nations of the world. Genesis 9:12-13, which is the one with Noah. This is the sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And with Abraham, Genesis 12:3, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So it's clear that from the very beginning, God's heart has been to reach all peoples. What does that mean for us, though? That was a long time ago, right? What does that mean for us? We know, you see, that as the church, we are connected through Christ into this nation, into this kingdom of priests. In 1 Peter, a letter written to the persecuted and scattered believers across Asia Minor, it makes the link for us. In the middle of encouraging them that God is building them into what will become the church, 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We also see this in Jesus' words, although it's expressed more in language that draws from the prophet Isaiah. Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How many of you have been receiving the daily Lent readings by email? Good number. Haven't they been good?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. So, just want to commend Dan to you, actually. I don't know if he's in. Is he in here? No, he's out there. But he brought that idea originally to the teaching team, And I think it's gone really well. It's been really good to hear from lots of different people and to be encouraged every morning. So if you've been reading these and you have an exceptional memory, you'll remember that these verses were day 13. Ben knows, because Ben wrote them. Not those verses, just the reflection on them. And I just want to read you what Ben wrote about them. We can sometimes think that being the light of the world is a choice that we make. We may ask ourselves, do I want to be God's light today? On the other hand, we might think that being God's light depends on our attitudes or actions. But Jesus left it clear in this text that we are his light of this world, whether we feel like it or not, and regardless of our behavior. It is God who has set us up as a city on a hill, and we are his representatives here on earth. The question isn't, are you being God's light, but rather, what light are you shining? To put it another way, what kind of an advert are you for God and his church? The Bible says that we are God's ambassadors, his representatives here on the earth. So we need to take that role seriously. If our Father is glorified when people see our good works, then let's press on and live for the glory of God today, shining brightly with the beautiful colors of the light of the world, Jesus. Ben liked it. It's a challenging word, challenging word. So we're a light to the world, a shining beacon that attracts people to God. To put it in evangelistic terms, we are there to reach out to people and point them in the right direction towards the light. As we heard last week and again this morning, you've got the cards on your chairs. We're challenging ourselves with this Alpha 100. I say challenging ourselves because we need to recognize that it's not a challenge for God. It's a challenge for us. Because it means we have to get off our butts and do something. Start pointing people in the right direction. And that can be really hard for a lot of us, me included. Okay? But it is part of the greater purpose to which we are called as a community. It's something to think about. But we're also God's light bearers in a world that is dark in the absence of his presence. Another of our Lent readings came from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This was day 8. Of our Lent readings, and here's what Karen Valdar had to say about it. When the prophet Isaiah looks at the world he lives in, he sees so much darkness. As we journey towards the light of Easter, first we must encounter the darkness of Good Friday. For 3 hours, when Jesus hung on the cross, darkness descended upon the land during midday. The reason for this darkness was the glory of the presence of God was removed. As we look at the world, we see that very darkness all around us. So many of our friends and family live without Christ and are in a spiritual darkness. By the grace of God, we are the light of Christ to the world. So we should live as children of the light. Our lives should be should be full of the fruit of the light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. As we carry the fragrance of Jesus, his light shines through us and out of us into a hurting and broken world. So let us be lighthouses to those that live in darkness around us. We must make sure that we have strong foundations and let our light shine to help people navigate their troubles, guide them to safety, and ultimately point them to Jesus, home. This passion for bringing God's light into a hurting and broken world, suffering in the darkness of the absence of his presence, is what's driven countless Christians into mission, both in the UK and overseas. It's what has driven countless Christians to campaign for and effect social reform. It's also part of our vision for Hub, Community Church, to impact society. We do this already through a number of initiatives. Those who walk the streets on a Friday and Saturday night as street pastors carry the light of God into broken and vulnerable people who are living in darkness. Those who support families and individuals struggling financially with food at the food bank shine the light of God into their darkness. Those who offer a bed and shelter to the homeless in the nightlight shelter shine the light of God into people's lives that are often so dark they can't see beyond the next minute or hour. There's a lot more that I could mention, and probably a lot more than that I don't even know about. The point is, as Eric reminded us this morning with his word about being a city of refuge for the lost and the broken, is that this is as much of a part of our calling as a kingdom of priests as bringing God's light to the world in an evangelistic sense. Now, it's probably timely at this point to remind us of the title of Phil's preach last week, It Takes a Community. I don't want people to feel under condemnation that we have to get all of this stuff done. We're not failing if we aren't volunteering for everything going, okay? And we are not failing if we aren't leading everyone that we see to Christ. But as a community, we are called to be doing these things. So all I would say to you is, what part are you playing in this greater purpose we as a community are called to? I mentioned earlier that the commandments that follow our passage in Exodus are a yardstick by which the people of Israel will be recognized as distinct from the world around them. But let's not get this the wrong way round. As Ben put it, we are his light in this world, whether we feel like it or not, and regardless of our behavior. Last week, Phil reminded us that the law was given not as an entry requirement, but as an encouragement, a way to live in right relationship with God. Note how our passage begins. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It begins with the salvation of the people. Before obedience is required and before the law is given. Don't make the mistake of thinking that what Jesus did when he came was overturn the need to earn our salvation. That need never existed. God saving his people, whether they deserved it or not, is a principle that God has established from the beginning. However, while the people do not earn their salvation once saved, they are obligated to act in a manner worthy of their high calling. I'm not a natural evangelist, but I am aware of the need to put the name of Jesus on our lips. It's all too easy for people like me to hide behind the concept and say, I don't need to preach at people. I'll let Jesus shine through my actions. And God will do the rest. But equally, it's no good going about with the name, preaching the gospel and proclaiming the good news of Jesus if our lives don't reflect the light of Christ living in us. The good news, of course, for people like me who struggle with sin and don't live perfect lives. I don't know how many of you with me on that one, but maybe one or two. The good news for people like us is that we're saved. And the light of God shines within us whether we like it or not. Now, we should, of course, strive not to sin and to live lives worthy of our calling, but we should not let our failure to do so define who we are. We are called to be God's treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That is what defines us. I've thrown a fair bit at you this morning, a number of different Bible verses, so how do we sum this up? And what do we take away about the journey we're on as Hub Community Church? Well, firstly, and most importantly, we take heart that our journey has a purpose, a great purpose that we share with the entire family of God that has gone before us. I want you to take encouragement away this morning, not condemnation. Our journey has a purpose. We are to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a light shining in the darkness. Secondly, we are to strive to live lives that are worthy of that greater purpose, so people will be drawn to our light and we can share the good news with them. Thirdly, we are to bring the light of God that shines from within us into the darkness of this world and into situations that are dark because of the absence of the light of his presence. The final point comes from a couple of verses later in the passage. See, God tells the people through Moses, this is my great purpose for you. And then in verse 8, the people respond. It says, the people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So in terms of what this means for us as Hub Community Church, I think it's really important that we take this step. So I'd like us to stand, if you're able. And if you're not, stand with us in spirit. And as we stand together in the sight of God, he is saying to us, Hub Community Church, you have seen how I sent my son to die for you, so that you may be carried on to me on eagle's wings, just as I rescued my people, Israel, from Egypt. You have seen how I have brought you together. Out of three, I have made one, so that you may better fulfill my purposes for you. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is God's heart for us. We are saved. A way has been made for us to walk with God. He has chosen us as his treasured possession, chosen us to bring his light into our community, our friends, our families, and our workplaces, chosen us to bring his light into the dark places of our society. But we must commit to following him, to obey him, and to keep his covenant. So as we stand together, if you would claim this for yourself, and for Hub Community Church, then just like the people of Israel did, will you say these words with me? We will do everything the Lord has said. Amen.